This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
I am a mom, and there's only one thing that I'm afraid of, and that's the people in elected office taking away my rights. I'm not afraid of the crook that's going to come to my door, because if my dogs don't get him, I will, and it's my job to defend myself. It's not your job to protect me. It's not your job to defend me. It's your job to protect the Constitution and protect my rights to defend myself.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on, as usual, here on Agenda 21 Radio. And a little bit of a review. We were talking about the COVID virus situation and whether or not kids should be going back to school. And, of course, being an educator for 41 years, I'm saying yes and heck yes. The Orange County Board of Education said yes and heck yes. So anyway, when we start doing the deep dive into the COVID virus, we find out that's not what we think it is, or at least that's not what Anthony Fauci and others are saying. And we also have been talking about, you know, what's it going to be to, to turn this whole thing around with the COVID virus. We're going to have Peggy Hall on with us tomorrow. She's, of course, joined the New California State Movement and is also with us now. She'll be on the third hour. I just want to give you that little heads up. She was supposed to be on with us Monday, but we got some things that had to change around for schedules. So she'll be joining us tomorrow. She's going to talk specifically about what she's doing to try and stop this craziness by closing down the state and opening up the state, which is, of course, what we want to try and do, is go back to that and get away from the whole Gavin Newsom model. Yesterday in our grievance, we laid bare, of course, Gavin Newsom. A lot of people have been commenting about that. And, of course, we're finding out people are now reading these grievances to the county supervisors, which is pretty shocking, I suppose, for them. Anyway, with us right now, though, is somebody I've admired for a long time, with Breitbart, Joel Pollack. And I'm really happy to have him with us on the show. Been, like I said, following him for years. And, of course, Andrew Breitbart and the growth of Breitbart. We've always been reporting for the last 11 years, actually, news sources from Breitbart. So I'm really happy to have Joel with us. Joel, welcome to Agenda 21 Radio with your new book. Are you there, Joel? Let's see. Joel, are you there?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. You were on mute there a little bit. Okay, anyway, so welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. Really happy to have you with us. And like I was telling the audience, I've been an admirer of you and what the work you've done at Breitbart. And, of course, difficult time when Andrew Breitbart was passed away. You stepped in and did just an incredible job. One of the things you did, of course, was talked about what was going on then and that some initiatives going on that sort of plays out today with Black Lives Matter. And Derek Bell had this philosophy that Obama had embraced and critical race theory, and that was one of the things that Andrew was trying to bring out. And you did a fantastic job of picking up the ball and explaining to everybody what was going on at that point in time. It was a great point in history. How do you feel today? And this is a little bit different from your book, but it plays into the Black Lives Matter thing. How do you feel today about those days and what you're seeing like with Black Lives Matter and that movement today?
Well, first of all, I'm deeply impressed and flattered that you remember that, because that feels like ancient history. You really have been following.
Yes, I have.
For quite a long time. Well, it's very impressive, but you ask a very good question, because, in fact, I have been thinking about that precise subject. And Derek Bell wrote in the 90s that America was fundamentally, systemically racist because our Constitution was drafted by slave owners who did not get rid of slavery in the Constitution. Now, if you know the history of the Constitutional Convention and all the debates, they did put a time limit on the amount of time it'd be legal to sell slaves. They didn't use the word slavery in the Constitution, but they had to compromise because North and South had to come together, and there were many abolitionists who were involved in the Constitution drafting. Some of the best ideas came from slave owners, and there were also landed interests that didn't want to get rid of slavery. So all of these things have to be coordinated, but our Constitution today does owe its major structure to James Madison, who was against slavery, or at least morally conflicted about slavery, but he actually did own slaves at his plantation. So according to Derek Bell, that made America foundationally racist. To him, the important thing wasn't the rights and liberties that James Madison and others put into the Constitution. The important thing was that they left slavery intact. And therefore, because black people could be owned as property, the country itself and the very institution of private property was racist. And the only way to undo that systemic racism was through what he called socioeconomic rights, but basically putting things in the Constitution like a right to health care, a right to education, and forcing the government to redistribute wealth and property, the original sin, of course, to redistribute that so that black people, as well as other people in the poor communities of America, could benefit. So he basically took this argument that America is racist, and he put it in the service of a socialist agenda. And fast forward 30 years, and that's exactly what Black Lives Matter is doing. But instead of being a fringe idea in a law school office somewhere where nobody's going to hear about it, really, it's now become the dominant idea of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And in fact, Joe Biden this week announced a $7 trillion spending plan to address racial inequality by doing all of this redistribution. It's a staggering spending plan. It's three times what Hillary Clinton was proposing to spend. And that's where we are. That's the major position now. It's the most left-wing platform we've ever seen in any campaign in the history of this country.
Well, that was, in fact, what Andrew Breitbart was going to out. And you know, like I said, when he passed away, you picked up the ball and you ran with it. And you laid it out for everybody. I thought it did a very good job. And I followed it intensely. You know, being an educator and everything, the racial business is quite a thing that I grew up with, and of course had to address it for 41 years and did successfully. But this idea of systemic racism, which is what we're hearing about so much now, which is an aberration that came from Derek Bell, has really taken hold. I don't know with the American people if it's going to be sustainable, I'll use that word, if it's going to be sustainable as a notion and an idea that we're all systemically racist, especially as we push back constitutionalists. I'm an originalist constitutionalist. As we push back about what the Constitution, you mentioned Madison, and you mentioned the confliction that was actually there in the Constitutional Convention. There was that tension of slavery. I would proffer to say that slavery has never left America. In fact, the left is still engaged quite intensely in slavery. When I think of human trafficking, which I call human trafficking and human flesh and slavery, because you know people are still being bought and sold in America right now. And the left doesn't seem to be bothered by that. It's amazing.
Right. And a lot of that human trafficking comes through abuse of our immigration system, whether it's people abusing tourist visas or sneaking across the border. And Trump, of course, is standing up to that. And Ivanka Trump, who for some reason has become a figure of hate in the media, but Ivanka Trump has actually led an initiative at the White House to clamp down on human trafficking. And, you know, when we talk about human trafficking and slavery today, people may not know what that is, but it may be in your neighborhood. I mean, depending on where you live. I mean, right. Here in California, you drive into any major city and you see, you know, some of these massage parlors and that sort of thing. I mean, some of them are legitimate businesses, but some of them, they've discovered, are using women who they cycle through establishment after establishment, never staying in any one place for too long, who are here illegally or at least are being managed illegally. Sometimes they're victims. They have their passports taken away, and they're moved around the country in part of this human trafficking ring. And these, you know, I don't want to disparage people who are running legitimate businesses, so that's not my intention here. But I'm just saying that it happens right under our noses, and it happens because sanctuary cities keep federal immigration law enforcement away. If people know that federal immigration enforcement could come at any moment, you're going to have fewer of these illegitimate businesses taking advantage of what is a legitimate industry. So that's the problem, and the Trump administration is standing up to it, but getting very little credit from the media.
You know, and again, the media does not necessarily want to bring that kind of credit to him that he's trying to put the stops to that. I unfortunately was involved as an educator deeply in many cases of human trafficking, especially the child sex trafficking stuff. And it's very, very disturbing. And like you said, and I've said this all along, it's right in front of your faces. You just have to know what the signs and symptoms are and understand how these people move people around, like you're talking about with the massage parlors. But there are legitimate businesses out there that they basically turn into illegitimate businesses because they're using slave labor. And that's happening. And nobody on the left, you don't hear Nancy Pelosi complaining about it. It's always everybody on the right. But again, you talk about Derrick Bell. I think it's just the great distraction away from current modern day slavery, because that's the Hegelian thing going on there. But let's talk about your book a little bit, because this is a pretty important election cycle. And your major thesis is that are we going to be red at the end of this election, either socialist or are we going to be with Donald Trump? And I'd say that's a pretty fair assessment given the circumstances right now that we're seeing how the Black Lives Matter movement has been going. Your assessment of what Trump has to do between now and the election?
Well, I think he has to point a way forward. And part of that is just being constant, being able to convince Americans that the future is going to be more stable than the present. We've gone through incredible upheavals in our lives, whether it's shutting down schools or businesses, losing jobs, having to care for sick relatives, and enduring some of the looting that went on. I mean, right around the corner from me, there were businesses looted, places boarded up. We've had to go through a lot. And the question really is, who's going to bring America back to stability? And Biden is answering that question in the negative, because Biden is saying he wants revolutionary institutional change. He's out there with the protesters. He wants more upheaval, more change. And what he's hoping is that there are enough people who blame the current state of affairs on the incumbent president that they think the answer is institutional change. I think that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake to tell Americans who've been through so much the last few months that you're going to change their lives even more. And I think that Trump has to say, we're going to finish what we started, we're going to move ahead on a steady course, and we're going to bring the economy back, we're going to bring people back to schools, we're going to be the America that we were just a few months ago. And that's roughly where you see Trump heading. He's got to exercise a lot of discipline. It's very difficult because, of course, he's not the only factor. There are staffers and campaign people doing their own thing, saying their own thing, who knows. And there's also a lot of pressure from the media. So he's managing an incredibly difficult task. But I think that's what he's got to do. He's got to promise the American people stability. And Biden is giving Trump a huge opportunity because Biden is kowtowing to the left. This is not the Joe Biden of the last half century.
Absolutely.
You know, he's been in
politics for
half a century. This is Bernie Sanders, Barack Obama channeling through Joe Biden.
Yeah, I would absolutely 1,000% agree with this. This is not the Joe Biden that we've long loved and adored, right? You're right. He's channeling the worst of the worst, in my opinion, including the Derek Bells of the world by way of Obama. But he's playing the rope-a-dope business, which I think is not going to work for everybody. You know, this whole idea that he's been staying in the basement of his house, some sort of way to connect with those basement dwellers that are out there sitting in their underwear in the basements at their computers playing games. I just don't understand why he wanted to relate to that. But, we saw this rope-a-dope business going on with Mueller just before the Mueller hearings, and now we see it with Biden. Do you see any connected out there?
Well, I think that you see a very important connection that nobody's brought up yet. And maybe, maybe I'll write a column about this now that I think about it. But the whistleblower in the impeachment, and remember the impeachment came out of the Mueller process and the whole illegitimate investigation, rolled right into the Ukraine thing. And the whistleblower was a guy who had worked for Biden, allegedly.
Oh,
and
shocking.
We still don't know. You know, we still don't know everything about it, but the guy's name is Eric Chermela.
Right.
And you can't really say his name on social media because they'll shut down your articles on Facebook and so forth. You know, there's no reason to shut it down, by the way. He's a public figure. There's no reason that they should shut it down. But anyway, he worked for Biden, and he initiated this impeachment of Trump. Plus, Biden, when he was still in office, initiated or helped initiate the prosecution of Michael Flynn.
Right.
So there's a lot of Biden in the effort to undermine Trump. And people don't think he's personally responsible because people don't think he can do anything, really. They don't think he's even managing his own campaign. But there really are serious questions about the Biden camp and their involvement in attempting to discredit and dislodge undemocratically the current president of the United States. And I know that's actually worth a revisit. I think that he who shall not be named deserves a second look because he allegedly worked for Biden. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the tell. Long time hasn't been known. It hadn't been brought out. They kind of been keeping that secret about Biden's relationship with the Russia hoax business. But he was very much involved. He was very much in the meetings. He understood what was going on, and he certainly was making the play along with Obama to discredit Donald Trump before he was even elected. Then once elected, we don't know clearly how much he was involved, but it would seem that he was probably a lot more involved than we realize.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's the other thing. If Democrats win this election, then they will have benefited from all of the tricks they pulled with the collusion, false allegations, the impeachment, all the crazy stuff, the abuses of the Oversight Committee. I mean, it's just what's going to happen. You know, they'll learn from this. They'll learn from the riots. If they win, they'll learn that they can just go into the streets and allow looting and rioting to happen, and they'll get control of the country. It would be profoundly destabilizing for Biden to win.
Yeah, I think the better angels of the United States are going to be here. I wanted to ask you, though, what is your thought about election fraud? Especially here in California, the way things are run with ballot harvesting and so on. Do you see this as a national problem right now?
Yes, it is. And right now, there's such a problem with fraud or the potential for fraud that neither side is going to accept the legitimacy of the election unless it's a landslide. So if Biden wins by a large margin, you know, the Trump side will still feel it was illegitimate because of the role of the media and the role of even the military. I mean, you had military leaders weighing in against Trump, and it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if it goes the other way, I mean, if Trump ekes out a narrow victory, Democrats are going to claim fraud just like they did last time. And, you know, if Biden ekes out a narrow victory, I think Republicans will be justified in saying, you know, there's so much fraud that goes on. I mean, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of ballots that are mailed in don't get counted and are problematic for various reasons. It's not really a good sign for the future. So, yeah, the best outcome for the country would be a big win. And, of course, from my perspective, it would be a big win for Trump.
Yeah, I have a feeling the win is going to be quite large. I just don't think the American people are going to buy into this whole thing collectively that Joe Biden is as dumb as he is. And I think a lot of us remember the Joe Biden that you were talking about from 40 years prior to the obvious transition that he has made to the socialist agenda, and where he's just openly embracing Black Lives Matters and the revolutionaries that are out there.
Right, right. Well, you know, the question again comes down to this. Who wants to be president of the United States? You know, does Joe Biden want to be president of a different country that he's going to invent with the help of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and, you know, the 1619 Project at the New York Times? Or is the president going to run the country as it is, take it where it is, where it needs to go, and honor the people that live here and that make it up? Because it's hard to say that you love the country that you want to change so much. You don't marry a woman and then say, I love you because I want to change you. You know, that's ridiculous. You marry a woman, you say, you know, I love you just the way you are, to quote the Billy Joel song. And that's how Trump is. Biden's promising radical changes. And I think the question really does come down to who wants to be president of the United States versus president of whatever utopia they've come up with at the left-wing think tanks in Washington.
Well, utopia is really what they want. And you can see that, of course, out here in California. They're striving for utopia. What are your thoughts on California and what's going on right now?
California is interesting. You know, in some ways, we're a cautionary tale because we've become a one-party state. And there's very, very little prospect of that changing in the near future. As such, we're extremely vulnerable to swings in the economy. We don't have a very good system set up that can absorb big shocks. You know, we have a very small tax base that's hugely taxed, and a lot of those people make their money based on how Wall Street is doing. So, you know, we are just hugely dependent on outside factors. I mean, Hollywood's having a terrible year. The tech industry's having a bad year. Even though the big tech companies, the tech giants, are doing pretty well, tech employment is through the floor.
Right.
The smart kids in Silicon Valley are having hard times getting jobs. And Democrats don't really have an answer to that. Meanwhile, you know, Gavin Newsom, I mean, he's got some good qualities. I give him credit for cooperating with the president. But he is unable to keep the lights on in high wind in San Francisco. And he doesn't seem to have any sort of vision for the future other than just kowtowing to the left. You know, whatever the left wants, the left gets. If it's free health care for illegal aliens, you know, we're trying that already here in California. And he's continuing the legacy of Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown was asked, you know, why do you make it so hard to succeed in California? Why do you have all these regulations and taxes? And Jerry Brown said, well, if you're smart, you can make it here. You know, meaning that for a certain elite, you know, everything's fine. We don't care about the rest of you who, you know, don't have tech jobs and live in the middle class suburbs. You know, you guys can figure out whether you want to stay here or go to Arizona. But, you know, hey, if you're smart, if you're like me, you know, if you live in San Francisco or have a nice coastal home or inherited money, you know, you're fine here. What are you guys complaining about?
Yeah, that's exactly the way that's a perfect way to put it. We've been talking to Breitbart News senior editor Joel Pollack, and really appreciate you being on. You got your new book out called Red November. Yeah, I believe it's out now, isn't it? It's available for purchase. That's
it is out now, yes. Please pick up a copy. It's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun writing it, and I think you'll have a lot of fun reading it.
Well, listen, I really look forward to having you back on. Maybe towards get the election, you'll be running around, get with AJ, and I know AJ quite well because I'll be on the radio with him as well doing a bunch of things. So anyway, Joel, thank you very much for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio, and good luck with you at Breitbart.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. So that was Joel Pollock here and at Agenda 21 Radio. Really a great discussion. Really enjoyed talking to him about the Black Lives Matter movement and where that all came about. It was an intense study at the time with Derek Bell and Andrew Breitbart. So anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be right back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. And Portland anti-cop protesters form autonomous zone by pitching tents and rebuilding barricades. There you go. Portland, finally. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I did not, there was an article about Portland and the mayor of Portland. God's kind of a loon. Because he's tolerated, you know, the behavior going on in Portland. And we've been covering Portland stuff for a couple of years now, the crazies that go on up there, right? And we've got, I'm trying to find it right now. I can't find it, though. And I'm looking, right now I'm at Fox, and I was looking over before that. I can't find it, but anyway. They were basically haranguing, if you will, they were haranguing the Portland mayor as for good cause. I mean, this guy's just a Looney Tunes, right? An absolute Looney Tunes. But anyway, now we've got autonomous zones. This is, I think, a up-and-coming story. Oh, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler, no stranger to protests, controversy, what to know. Okay, let's see if I've got this story here about the Portland mayor. Because, you know, it comes down to the mayor not wanting his police to enforce anything. And, of course, he had this big thing with federal agents and all that stuff. You know, this was back in the day. And we got a clip here. Let's says Portland mayor on federal response. We do not need or want their help. Okay, check this out.
Dollars in losses from looters and rioters. Now the Department of Homeland Security deploying federal officers to protect government buildings. But the mayor of Portland, Oregon, is objecting to their presence, tweeting, quote, I told the acting secretary that my biggest immediate concern is the violence federal officers brought to our streets in recent days and the life-threatening tactics his agents use. We do not need or want their help. Jonathan Hunt is live in our West Coast newsroom with more. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, John. Political leaders in Oregon have never been comfortable with the presence of heavily armed federal agents on the streets of Portland, and their patience appears to have run out completely after an incident over the weekend that left a protester seriously injured. Watch carefully here. A gas or smoke canister is fired at the protester, who's standing still holding a speaker over his head. He bends down and appears to flick the canister a few feet back in the direction of, but not near, the line of federal agents in front of Portland's federal courthouse. Seconds later, that protester is hit directly in the head by some sort of impact munition. Unclear if that was another canister, a rubber bullet, a sponge or beanbag round. The protester drops to the ground and others rush to help. The 26-year-old man is still in the hospital, having undergone surgery for a fractured skull and other injuries. That's what prompted the mayor of Portland to call for the DHS agents to get off the streets and for Oregon's U.S. Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley to write to Attorney General Bill Barr Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf, demanding that the officer who fired the round be identified and investigated, and saying, quote, we unequivocally condemn such acts of violence and any effort to target, attack, or silence those peacefully exercising their First Amendment rights.
Okay, I'm sorry. What I was just witnessing is not necessarily peaceful. And, of course, we all know what goes on in Portland, right? They're peaceful. They're peaceful. But burn down the buildings, they're peaceful. You know, throwing rocks and throwing, bricks at people, right? We've seen that before. This is all part of their MO. But that's right. You got to remember, you got these two nut jobs that are in the Senate from Oregon. You got Wyden and Merkley. They are absolute nut jobs. Oh, by the way, how about Lavoie Finicum, Ron or Jeff? Yeah, where were you then when you brought in the federales and assassinated them? Oh, you're calling it out. In fact, what you were saying, you son of a bitches, excuse me, is about Lavoie, is we cannot let this virus spread. Remember that? That was a quote from both of you in the New York Times. And we brought it out. Yeah, you helped him murder Lavoie Finicum. That's how it rolls. Let's set it straight, Wyden and Merkley. Let's set it straight. You murdered him. And you know it. Because you didn't want the virus to spread. You know about the Constitution and about the constitutional rights that the people of Oregon have that you don't want them to have? Yeah, let's just open up that page. Let's just open up that page. And Kate Brown and her help in trying to assassinate him. And you go to James Comey and said, we cannot let this virus spread. Stop it. Bring in your FBI thugs and murderers, your assassins. We'll get it all on a drone and we'll put it all on videotape. That's what they did. But no, you know, they want to investigate the officer who fired the canister because the guy threw the canister back at the direction of the officers. So they fire a canister, and he's out there trying to hurt the officers. Right, there you go.
And investigated and saying, quote, "We unequivocally condemn such acts of violence and any effort to target, attack, or silence those peacefully exercising their First Amendment rights."
LaVoy Finicum, anyone? He was just peacefully driving along when he was assassinated.
President Trump, of course, has repeatedly said that if local officials in cities like Portland...
peacefully burning things down, right?
...can't control protesters who have at times attacked police with rocks, bottles, and even hammers, then he will, saying just this past Monday, quote, "We've done a great job in Portland." But, John, the verbal battle between local leaders and the Trump administration is a stark example of the debate over whether sending in militarized federal forces actually calms or inflames these kind of...
Well, how about the, you know, first of all, there were no police around there trying to protect that building in Portland. Where were the police to try and stop those people from destroying the building? Where was it? Where were they? See, this is the thing. This is hypocrisy of all that stuff. Oh, peaceful protest, burning, looting, that sort of thing. That's real peaceful in Portland. But you have their senators who helped to assassinate LaVoy Finicum step up to challenge all that. I'm sorry, it just gets a little over the top for me sometimes when I see the hypocrisy of these murdering thugs that are in the Senate. That's why Oregon is such a mess. You've got those kind of characters running around there. You know, Portland's a mess. Talk about the drugs, the needles, the feet, all that stuff. It's just San Francisco to the north, that's all. Except they think that they have this whole thing of Black Lives Matter business where we can be racist and we can destroy property. We can just do anything we want because the mayor says it's okay. Now, that's just a fact of life up there, and everybody knows it. And who's going to change out the mayor? I don't know. Talk about an election system that's gone awry. Maybe we should check out what's going on there. Now, this is a comment that came in. Portland Police Association President Daryl Turner released a statement following the violent protest, blaming Wheeler for a lack of enforcement and saying the mayor must remove the handcuffs from our officers and let them stop the violence through strong and swift enforcement action. But you see, he's trying to make it about the federal government, about Trump, because those federal officers were protecting their building. Even the Portland Police Association president understands the problem with this, and he's calling it out. So, would we support the police in Portland? Absolutely. They just need to be able to do what they... This is the stand-down business, right? This is the stand-down business of the left. Don't tell me that they don't want to destroy the town. That's part of the MO. And then they can defund the police. There you go. Then we can bring out the brown shirts and the Nazis and the Stasi. We'll be back.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. My Pillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Orion Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Orion Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Orion Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Orion Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Orion Solar.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Well, we got another injustice brought to you by George Soros, and that's the situation that's going on right now with the St. Louis... couple that defended their property with guns, and the president has vowed to do everything he can to make sure that nothing happens, but they're being prosecuted. They're going to be prosecuted now by the district attorney there, who is a George Soros bought and paid district attorney. Here we go. George Soros. The Soroses get around. You know, the brothers Paul and George, and Paul is dead, but, you know, just to make it easy for you to understand how this whole thing works. And, this is the report that we got.
Protesters that broke into their community. St. Louis police applied for warrants in this case, but so far it's unclear what exactly they're for. The couple maintains they were in fear for their life, and even the president is weighing in on this.
You know, they want to indict me. The press has maligned me, and they're trying to socially intimidate us, but we did nothing wrong, and we're not going to be intimidated. We're not subject to intimidation, and we won't back down.
I just got off the phone with the president. He understands the situation in St. Louis and how out of control it is for a prosecutor to let violent criminals off and try to attack law-abiding citizens.
The outcry also includes 12 GOP lawmakers who wrote to Attorney General Bill Barr defending the McCloskey's Second Amendment rights. One of those lawmakers, Georgia Congressman Jody Heiss, joins me live this morning. Sir, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. You know, we all remember this happening. We saw the pictures of the gun, but you also saw the pictures of what looked like a wrought iron fence that had been busted down, breaking into a private community. And these two say that they saw people with guns and they defended themselves. What do you make of this?
Yeah, how in the world do you look at these protesters and call them innocent protesters when they're tearing down wrought iron fences, they're making threats about burning the house down and robbing and looting and that type of thing? Listen, private citizens have the right to protect themselves. And that's exactly what was going on here. And so we've written a letter under the leadership of Louis Gohmert, actually led this letter. Many of us have jumped on board, asking Attorney General Barr to step in and protect the rights of individuals to protect themselves against potential thugs and harm.
The attorney general in that state had this to say: both the governor and Donald Trump came after me for doing my job and investigating a case while they continue to play politics with the handling of this matter, spreading misinformation and distorting the truth. I refuse to do so. As I always do, I am reviewing all the available facts and the law and will apply them equally, regardless of the people involved. You know, the McCloskeys say they're expecting charges to be filed. Do you think she is being political herself, pandering maybe to the mob?
Well, it could be, but listen, these same folks who are now trying to defund the police are now trying to defund private citizens from the ability, not defund, but to strip away the rights of private citizens to defend themselves. I mean, we are watching all of this just be turned upside down on its head. We have a right to defend ourselves and to defund the police while at the same time taking away the capacity of individuals to defend themselves is absolute lunacy.
Mm. And by the way, I said attorney general. She's actually the circuit attorney. Let's switch here for a second and talk. Let's widen this out to the whole country. You've got a number of cities in this country that are just seeing an explosion in crime. And you've got a lot of local politicians that seem to be turning a blind eye to it because they're more concerned with, I guess, the optics in dealing with the Black Lives Matter situation in their cities. We can pull up some of the numbers here if we could. Homicide rates up in some of these major U.S. cities, including, look at Minneapolis there, up 94%, the annual homicide rate to this point. You wrote another letter to some of these politicians. What did you have to say to them?
Yeah, we wrote a letter to some of the mayors, for example, Los Angeles, New York, Minneapolis, and basically asking some tough questions, but some very basic questions. These are mayors who are leading the charge to defund the police, to perhaps even dismantle police departments altogether. And, you know, the result of that will be absolutely disastrous as we will watch the erosion of public safety. So we led a letter and with many others on the oversight committee demanding some answers to some things like, what kind of assurance do you have that persons and property will be protected? Who did you consult for these type of things? What will be the outcome for police departments to respond in a timely manner? What about investigations? How will they continue? So we have a whole list of questions that we are demanding some answers for. It's amazing that these leaders of some of these cities have been able to move forward without any degree of accountability. Right. And so we are trying to get some accountability and answers and hopefully be able to bring some of them before the oversight committee for a hearing.
Well, if you do that, we certainly will follow it. We've even seen some Black leaders of some of these communities asking the police to come back in, asking for more police to stop the problem of the terrible violence we're seeing in this country. Congressman
Jody
Hines.
You can't have law and order if you don't have law enforcement. And to take away law enforcement would be disastrous.
It is disastrous. We're seeing it already. Sir, thank you.
You notice that there's a double-prong approach here. They're going to defund, and at the same time, they're going to take your weapons away, right? So you defund the police so you don't have the police, and then they take your weapons away so you're hapless, and that's what's happening here. I think there's going to be a civil rights complaint against the district attorney. Now, she is a George Soros. What George Soros has done is funded the election campaigns for various and sundry district attorneys around the nation. So that's where you're getting all this defunding business, and that's where you're allowing, you know, like here in California, you're allowing the criminals out of jail. As an example, what's going to be happening, you've got, you know, we're going to get back to the whole thing with Gavin Newsom. He's letting out at the end of this month 8,000 criminals out of prison. 8,000. Gee, I wonder if there's going to be a spike in COVID virus, right? But, you know, that goes along with this thinking of, you know, he wants to defund the police as well. He wants to take away your guns. But this is something that's around all around the United States. And, you know, one of the key things about this COVID virus and utilizing the COVID virus to destroy our businesses and our culture and so on is the use of health officers, which have sort of come back on the scene, so to speak, these health officers. It's interesting, these health officers, guess what? The vast majority of them are funded by Paul Soros Foundation by way of getting their medical degrees through the University of Washington and other things. And they all just got hired in January all around the nation. No conspiracy there, right? We'll be back.
My best friend, my rock, my son, Dominic, my only child, was also killed by an illegal immigrant. I call them illegal aliens.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715. We'll use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715. Promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
One zero.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. You know, it's been an interesting show today. We talked about Gavin Newsom and, you know, his nakedness and what's going on in Portland, but also the conversation with Joel Pollack, senior editor for Breitbart. And it was a great conversation. I really liked the idea. He's got his new book out called Red November. But the side conversations about Black Lives Matter and about Derrick Bell and critical race theory, and he explained it out beautifully. He had really some big explaining to do with that, because that was really what has now manifested itself into Black Lives Matter. And Derrick Bell, who was, you know, followed by Barack Obama. Barack Obama was a big fan of Derrick Bell. And that's why Derrick Bell always visited the White House when Obama was president in the first year. Derrick Bell passed away. But critical race theory has led to Black Lives Matter. It's where we're at today. Let's see if he writes an article about that. So anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, 821R.com. That's 821R.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. Remember, stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.